journey into the Bible and explore its hidden text and rich wisdom. Join Adil Kazilski Mondays at 1 p.m. for the trip of a lifetime.
Hey, Shavua Tov to everybody. And yes, the countdown is happening. We are exactly 1 week away from Rosh Hashanah. This time next week, we are, please God, going to be preparing ourselves for the night of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah next week is Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday. And we are going to be preparing ourselves to celebrate the birthday of man. Believe it or not, the birthday of the world is not on Rosh Hashanah. We are celebrating the birthday of man. In fact, on Thursday, the 18th of September, which corresponds to the 25th of Elul, actually corresponds to the birthday of the world. But I'm not here to give you a lesson on Rosh Hashanah, just reminding you that the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah is to listen to the blowing of the shofar. So please make sure that you are in the vicinity of an Orthodox community, or if you know somebody that is going to be able to blow shofar, because that is the mitzvah of the day. But for me, I'm here and we are learning mystical text. We are going through Parashat Yitro. We are going through the Ten Commandments. And last week we started talking about the third commandment, which was not to take God's name in vain, not to do any false or vain oaths. And there was a lot around that, because we tend to be very lax with our promises and our swearing and everything else. And it is not a it's not something to be taken lightly. I'm now going to segue into a subcategory of not taking God's name in vain. And I'm going to be spending quite a lot of time in the next couple of weeks talking about one area where either we are completely lax and we do not pay any attention to, or if we do pay attention to, that we are reminded how to do things properly. And that is in the prohibition of bracha levatala. Okay, making a blessing unnecessary, a bracha levatala. Now, this falls under the commandment of not taking God's name in vain. Because if you make a blessing that is unnecessary, meaning you're saying it in the wrong context, at the wrong time, in the wrong place, just it's wrong, you are then breaking the third commandment of not taking God's name in vain. And we are chided by our rabbis that we should know when and where to recite the proper blessings. There are blessings for everything. We know that whenever we make a blessing starting with the words, Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed you God, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, our God, King of this world, Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvotav, who has commanded us in the commandment, and then we'll either make the blessing. Sometimes we don't say the full, that full thing. We'll say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, blessed are you God, our God, King of this world, and then we'll finish it off with other words. But the bottom line is that we have an adage that tells us that we need to make 100 blessings a day. So if we are saying 100 blessings a day, we are very, very busy saying blessings, and we've got to ensure that we understand the ramifications of what is right and what is wrong. And perhaps the biggest pitfall that we have is when it comes to the blessings around food, okay? If we say the wrong blessing, then we unfortunately are considered to be saying a blessing in vain, and therefore we need to be educated about what blessings we need to say and when and how. And so I'm going to spend a little bit of time as being in the next 2-3 weeks, just going through the various categories of blessings so that we educate ourselves, we remind ourselves, we become a little bit more careful with what we're saying so that we are saying things properly. I have to say before, though, that I do start this discussion that I'm not a rabbi. I am not giving psak halacha here. I'm not giving halachic rulings here. I'm giving information. And anything that you have a question on, please speak to an Orthodox rabbi and let them guide you accordingly. I'm just going to give you the framework around which we need to make blessings. So let's just talk generally, okay? Generally, we are obligated we need to be careful not to enjoy any food without reciting a proper blessing. Truthfully, it's forbidden to have any worldly enjoyment without first reciting a blessing. So this, I'm going to be talking about food, but this applies to everything that we know when we come to the Yamim Tovim. We are going to say Shechiyanu and we bless Hashem for thanks for bringing us to this day. We've got blessings for matzah and we've got blessings for lulav and sitting in a sukkah and making, you know, there's many wearing new clothes. There's many, many blessings. The point being that we should not have any worldly enjoyment without first reciting a blessing. So why is that? So the general concept is that we understand, and it's fundamental, and it's the first commandment that we've discussed, that God is the master of the universe. And because he is the master of the universe, everything in the world belongs to him. When we utilize something, and I'm going to talk in the realm of eating and drinking, but it's the thing, when we utilize, we eat or we drink without a proper blessing, it can be it can be seen as if we are stealing from Hashem. Now, we know that stealing anything, even a penny, is considered murder. Why? Because when one is taking away something that doesn't belong to him, they are taking away life from that other person. So when you're going to steal money from a person, you are deriving him the benefits of parnasa. If one, God forbid, goes much further and not only steals from a person, but steals from a community, that's even worse. And then we can derive from there that if we're going to steal from God, then that really is a big no-no. So when we eat without a blessing, we're doing something really not good. Because basically we're diminishing the good that God grants to the world. And there have been many, many situations where people unfortunately have had to suffer because of this. Now, when it comes to to eating, we know there is the adage that a person is what he eats, both physically and both spiritually. And so when we are going to learn about the blessings, we need to understand that we are what we eat. And therefore, how we eat it, when we eat it, and what we say before we eat it will have a huge repercussion of what it does to us once we've eaten it. I'd love you to join the conversation, ask questions if you will, or make any comment. 34519 is our SMS line. 061-895-1019 is our Telegram number.
This is Mystical Text with Adel Kazilski.
Right, so we were talking about the subject of you are what you eat. We know our entire body is constructed of the food that we have eaten. So when we go and we eat food without reciting a blessing, our entire body becomes like a piece of forbidden food because it's constructed out of food that has, so to speak, been stolen from God. That is the Jewish viewpoint, the Kabbalistic viewpoint. That is why the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, the Great Assembly, composed all the blessings. It was under the tutelage of a great rabbi called Ezra the scribe. And they put together what it is that should be said when we are eating. Now, if you are not eating and you hear a blessing, you still have to respond amen to it. Now, here's what's really, really interesting, because today in modern pop psychology, we talk a lot about being mindful, about mindful eating. There's many, many people that talk about mindful eating, that when we sit down, we like look at the food and we concentrate and we recognize how much it is that it's nourishing us and who's given to us, and to have a state of gratitude. Well, Judaism had this 3,000 years ago. We really, really were aware of mindful eating and correct eating, and eating with a gratitude, and the blessings around the foods is really about that. And we are told that if somebody is careful with blessings, then he sanctifies his body. Okay. And that we need to be really, really careful with what we are saying. Now, when we are saying the first three words, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed are you, God, we need to be very careful to realize what it is we're saying, right? We need to understand the significance of it, and to recognize that we are in a state of gratitude, and we are in a state of acknowledgement that which we are benefiting from is from God. We're not stealing. We're understanding that God in his benevolence has given this to us, and that it's for our enjoyment, it is for our health, it is for the promotion of who we are as human beings, and that we are super grateful for it. When it comes specifically to food, if one is going to be making a blessing on food, the thing over which the blessing is said should be always held in the right hand. Now, what would happen if it would occur sometimes that a person would place something into his mouth without reciting a blessing, but as he's chewing it, he goes, whoops, I forgot to make the blessing. So the answer is that if it is a piece of food that will still be edible, but if you can remove it and it's still edible again to put it back in the mouth, then remove it. Recite the blessing and then eat it again. If it is something that you've kind of like chewed and it's not going to look very pretty or very nice or edible again to take it out of the mouth, then one should move that food to the side of the mouth and make the blessing. What happens if it's a liquid, if it's a beverage? It says that one should spit it out, recite the blessing, and then finish the rest of that which is in its cup. It is considered improper to recite a blessing with food in one's mouth. Okay, it says in Tehillim, in Psalms, it says, my mouth shall be filled with your praise, which means that when Hashem is giving thanks, sorry, not Hashem, when a person is giving thanks to Hashem, only praise should be in his mouth. He shouldn't have food in his mouth. And he should be able to pronounce the words clearly. You know, obviously, for example, if you were standing before a king, you would obviously not be talking to the king with a mouth full of food. Similarly, with us, we need to make sure that our mouth is clear when we are making a blessing. So those are some of the general rules around blessings, and particularly when it comes to food. Everything that we eat requires a blessing, but I'm going to expand a little bit more on it, and then we're going to start getting involved into the various blessings that we make on the various food. There isn't just one blessing for all food. We are cognizant of the fact that different things grow in different ways or produced in different ways, and therefore different blessings are required. Now, before we go to that point, we must understand that in certain cases, it's possible to exempt another person by reciting a blessing for them. We are going to have this right now, coming up Rosh Hashanah. We're going to have somebody on the Bima making the blessing for the listening of the shofar. When we answer Amen, it is considered as if we ourselves have made the blessing and we ourselves have blown the shofar. So there are certain mitzvot in the Torah. One is like, for example, shofar. Another is sukkah. Another is lulav. There's certain ones where one can do it for you. There's also the example where in the reader's repetition of the Amidah, when you're praying, they are making the blessings for you and you're just answering Amen. And it is considered as if they have done it for you. So there are times that you can be exempt from making the blessing yourself by answering Amen to the other person's blessing. Now, when it comes to food, as a general rule, that cannot be true. Okay, it is not true. You can only exempt another if he himself is eating the food. So for example, when we sit down at the Shabbat table and the person says, Hamoitzi lechem min haaretz, and we all answer Amen, then we are all fulfilling the obligation of blessing over the bread. Or we hear one person making kiddush for everybody else, or havdalah, those type of things is when we are able to fall into the gamut of having somebody else say the blessing for us. We answer Amen and we're exempt to be making the blessing ourselves. Nevertheless, as a general rule, when you are eating, you are obligated to make a blessing on the food yourself. Okay? Now, you've got to be careful, though, not to make a blessing unnecessarily. Let's talk about that a little bit more, because that in and of itself becomes complicated. So you could be thinking in your mind now, well, I'm sitting down now to a four-course meal, okay? And how is it possible that I'm going to have to make a blessing on every single thing that I eat? And the answer is, you don't have to make a blessing on every single thing that you eat. You have to make a blessing on every category of food that you eat. So, for example, if you make the blessing borei minei mezonot, okay, which is the category of food that we make over anything to do that is not bread, but it's made of the five grains. When you say borei minei mezonot, that will cover, if you, again, let's assume that you're a bracha, that will cover when you're eating the croissant, when you're taking the biscuit, when you're eating the scone, when you have a slice of cake. You don't have to make a blessing of borei minei mezonot on every single different food item that you are eating. You're going to make one blessing to cover that category of food. Similarly, when you make a blessing borei pri ha'etz, for bless Hashem, for he who created the fruit of the tree, then you will make it on the one fruit. There, by the way, the seven species, the fruits of Eretz Israel take precedence over other fruit. But let's say we don't have the Shiva Minim, we don't have the seven species. I'll get back into that a little bit more. But you'll just have a peach and a pear and an apple. You can choose which fruit you want to eat first, make a borei pri ha'etz, and then you can eat the other two without making a borei pri ha'etz. And similarly, it goes with borei pri ha'adama, where we bless the fruit of the ground. Okay? And then we do have a category of fruit, of food, that is neither from the ground or from the tree, all made of the five grains, and neither is it a bread, so it's hamoitzi lechem min haaretz, and neither is it a grape, so we don't say borei pri hagafen. All other food will fall under the category shehakol nihiya or nihiye, depending on your custom, bidvaro, which means meat jelly and fish and chicken and Coke And anything that is not grown from the ground, grown from the tree, not from the five grains, not a hamoetzi, not a borei pri hagafen, and all those things I'm going to discuss in more details as we go along. I'm just giving you an overall view. Then you make the bracha shehakol nihia bidvaroi. So that is something important. So this all falls, this discussion all falls under the category of not reciting a blessing unnecessarily. So just as we are commanded to make sure that we make a blessing at the appropriate time, we're not to make unnecessary blessings. Okay, an unnecessary blessing would mean to make a borei pri ha'etz on the apple and then on the pear and then on the peach. You don't need to. And this is an interesting idea, and I might as well bring it up here because we're coming into the high holiday season. This is learned from the Kohen Gadol, from the high priest. You know, the high priest on Yom Kippur in the time of the temple would take out a Torah scroll and he would read the reading of the day, and that was found in the book of Vayikra. And then he would then recite orally the portion regarding the additional Yom Kippur offering, which is found in the book of Bamidbar, in the book of Numbers. The question is always asked, why does he have to recite the second reading, which is about the additional Yom Kippur offerings, orally? Okay. And the answer is that it shouldn't burden the congregation by making them wait until he scrolled the scroll from the book of Vayikra to the book of Numbers. And the rabbis go further, well, okay, well, don't do that. Then go take out a second scroll. In the first scroll, you'll be at the portion of in Leviticus in Vayikra. And when you're finished, open up the second scroll and read it out of Bamidbar. And the Talmud responds that because they're two completely separate actions, it would require a second blessing of the Torah. But then the first blessing would have been superfluous. And so since both readings could be covered by one blessing, it's forbidden to cause an extra one to be recited. So that is where we've got the concept that if we have any foods that are of like category, anything grown in the earth, or anything grown on the tree, et cetera, that we make one blessing that will cover all of those things. Now, I explained to you that we're obligated, and it is good practice for us to recite 100 blessings every day. And this is, by the way, a shout out to all of those who like to practice gratitude and to say thank you and to be mindful. From the time that we wake up in the morning, we're obligated to bless Hashem and to thank Hashem. So there is our davening is replete with blessings, particularly very early in the morning. We know that after Moedah Ani, where we thank Hashem for giving us back our souls and that we're able to breathe, once we have prepared ourselves, we have washed our hands, which we make a blessing on, and we've gone to the bathroom, and believe it or not, we make a blessing on that as well, then there is a whole lot of blessings that we say, where we thank Hashem for opening our eyes and for allowing us to be free and for us standing up straight and for us having clothes to wear and for giving us strength and for guiding us and for giving all our needs and for girding us with strength and for all sorts of stuff. And so there are a lot of blessings. In the beginning, we make a blessing on the learning of Torah because that then we will be learning the entire day. There are many, many blessings, or 18 blessings in the Amidah. There are blessings before the Amidah in the recycling of the Shema. So we say a lot of blessings, but that doesn't still come to 100. We top them up by then moving along in our mundane day. And primarily what we do every single day is we eat. Do we make sure then that we are blessing and we are making the appropriate acknowledgements and appreciation to Hashem for giving us of the bounty of earth. So it's really, really in truth, a practice of gratitude and a practice of mindfulness. After the break, we're going to discuss then the fact that there is an amount. There has to be a certain amount of food that you need to eat in order to make the appropriate blessing. So don't go away. Stay tuned to 101.9 High FM.
This is Mystical Text with Adil Kazilski.
Welcome back, and we're talking all things blessings. So I just want to talk about the amount of food that we need to eat. Perhaps I just need to repeat, just to be clear, that we have categories of food. We have food that are made of the five grains that are made of the grain and water, which will all fall under the Hamoitzi Lechem Min Haaretz blessing. We have the five grains of food that will be mixed with other liquids other than water, oil, eggs, etc., which will fall under the Mezonot, Borei Minei Mezonot blessing. That's all our cakes and confectionery generally. We have the blessing of Borei Pri HaGafen, which comes to grape and grape products. We have the Borei Pri HaEitz, all things that are grown from trees. There are exception to rules. There are Borei Pri HaAdama blessings, which are generally food that is grown from the ground. And then if they don't fall into any of those categories, then we have Shehakol Nihya B'dvaro, and that's all kind of like, I like to use the word parav, even though it's not parav, but just food that doesn't grow from the trees or from the ground or fall into the other categories. Now, there are certain amounts of food that must be eaten before certain blessings are recited. This does not apply to the blessings before we eat. Okay? A blessing before food must be said no matter how little one eats. It's forbidden to put even the smallest amount in your mouth without making the proper blessings. Why? Again, going back to the idea that we should not derive any enjoyment from this world without a blessing. And if we do so, it's like stealing from God. You know, whether you steal the small a couple of cents or you steal a couple of rand, nevertheless, you are stealing. So similarly, when it comes to the blessing before food, there is no difference of how much or how little. Generally, though, the rabbi still gave us parameters, okay, about making the blessing. So if one eats bread, one must recite the blessing Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, even on less than an olive-sized piece. It's called a kazayit. Again, because there is no set amount for blessing before food. This is not necessarily true for blessings that we say after we eat. So we have blessings before we eat and blessings after we eat. Example, if I wash and I eat bread, but I've eaten really the tiniest crumbs and I made Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, if I ate less than an olive-sized piece of bread, I am not obligated to recite Birkat HaMazon. I have to eat more than that. One of the ways that we understand that is when we have the mitzvah of matzah on Pesach. We know that when we say the blessings for eating matzah, we all have to keep quiet and we have to consume quite a lot of that piece of matzah in order to fulfill the mitzvah and in order for us to be yotze, meaning that we have fulfilled our obligations of eating matzah and then we can do the proper benching afterwards. If you go and you take off a tiny little scratch of a piece of matzah, then you're not fulfilling your obligation to its full. Now, if one eats a smaller piece of bread and then waits long enough to eat, the rabbis call it, give a time frame of three eggs, that this constitutes an interruption. Then we are not obligated either to to continue the blessing. So this rule applies to all blessings recited after food. You only can say a blessing after food if one has eaten an olive-sized piece. If less than this has been eaten, you don't say bracha achrona, a final blessing. And this is true of bread. It's true of absolutely everything else. Something very, very important for people to understand. Now, when it comes to, I'm talking about food, it's very easy to kind of like work out an olive-sized piece of bread. But when it comes to beverages, when it comes to liquids, there's quite a lot of dispute around it. Please speak to your rabbi. But the consensus around is that you have to drink at least a revi'it, a revius, in order to be able to say the blessing afterwards. So how much is a revi'it? It's generally 86 milliliters of beverage. It's generally like a gulpful or two. Do not measure with a gulpful. Measure the cup and see that it's more than 86 milliliters. This consideration comes into play when we are making kiddush. You've got to make sure that your cup, your kiddush cup, is not too small. If it holds less than, and I'm going to round it off to 90 mils of liquid, most authorities hold that it's not enough in order to make the blessing. So this is when we're making kiddush. This is when we're doing sheva brachas in shul. This is when we are doing havdalah. When we are using kiddush for birkat hamazon, you've got to make sure that they are that one is able to drink a full revi'it. Lots of kiddush cups are much, much bigger than that. But if you have any qualms or you are not sure, take out a syringe or take out a measuring cup from the kitchen and measure that that in fact you have more than 86 mils. Now, let's talk again in amounts. That what happens if a person eats a single grape? You pick up a single grape, or you pick a pomegranate seed, or you take a tiny insi olive. All of them are smaller than the normal olive size, according to the rabbis hold that you don't have to make a final blessing because it doesn't constitute more than an olive. There are some opinions, though, that are saying you do have to. It's called briya. You have to because you've eaten an entire entity, even though it's smaller than an olive size. Again, speak to your rabbi so that you can clarify that more. Generally, the rule is, instead of getting yourself into hot water and asking all of these complicated questions, by the way, just eat enough. An olive size is really small. So eat more than that. And then there's no question in having to run to the rabbi and saying, should I or shouldn't I make a blessing or not. So that is very, very important. We're just going to go for a bit of a break and we'll wrap up afterwards. This is 101.9 Chai FM.
This is Mystical Text with Adel Kazilski.
All right, just one or two other things. When we're just coming to beverages, you can have a mixture of beverages. For example, you can have a cup of coffee with water and milk, or you can make up a chiller, or you can put things together. What has to happen is that it has to be a revi'it. It has to be 86 mils of a liquid, okay, that you're eating all at once. The same thing, if you just want to have a small piece of apple and a piece of pear, you want to ensure that it together is going to be more than the olive size in order for you to be able to make the final blessing. So we have blessings before, the final blessings afterwards will either be that we say a full Birkat HaMazon, a full grace after meals. We have a shorter one when we are having Mizonot, and we are having anything to do with Borei Pri HaGafen or any of the species that belong to the land of Israel. And then we have a shortened form of Borei Nefashot for anything else that we've eaten. Again, I'm going to discuss this a little bit more as we go along. What is important is that, again, in order for us to stay kind of on the right side and do the right thing, ensure that you eat more than an olive size. Ensure that you make a generalized blessing over the categories of food, and ensure that after you have eaten, that you make the blessings as well. You know, one of the things could be that, you know, if you're drinking a very, very hot cup of coffee, you'll only take a tiny sip, and you've got to ensure that you drink the rest of it within a correct amount of time, because if you leave too much of an interruption, then you do not have you can't make the final blessing, okay? Or vice versa, if something is really, really cold, okay, and you don't drink and really eat all at once, and you drink a little by little sipping, you could land yourself up in a questionable idea. But this is really just an overview. And as we go along with it, I'm going to start with the grain products, with hamoitzi, then go with fruit and go down the line and discuss things more in depth, so that we all can have appreciation of what's right and what's wrong. Having said that, I'd like to wish all our listeners a ketiva v'chatima tova. You should all be written and inscribed for a sweet, beautiful, healthy, prosperous, safe new year ahead. We should all be written in the book of life with all our heart's desires fulfilled for good. And ultimately, Hashem should write down this world for redemption, redemption from all the evil, all the negativity, all the hatred that we are surrounded by, and that we should this year usher in the arrival of Mashiach Tzidkenu. Shana Tova to everybody. Thank you for listening. This is 101.9 Chai FM.